We acknowledge you in your presence in everything that we do and everything that we say. This moment is yours, so we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated if you're in here. If you're watching online, welcome again. It'll be a simple message. I try to keep it simple so that we can be everything that we're supposed to be. Or be the people that we're supposed to be and live our identity outright. So it's something that I think is a special cog in our belief and in our faith that we overlook. It would be a terrible thing for somebody to buy you a vehicle, you know, full of gas, you know what I'm saying, full of oil, everything you need, and then you siphon the oil and the gas out and throw it away. Essentially throwing away the thing that's keeping you going or keeping you moving, or the thing that'll prepare you forward, or the thing that will fuel you and energize your motion towards where you need to go. It would be crazy to do that. But what I'm going to teach you tonight shows that a lot of times we do that exact thing in our lives because we have not placed this particular resource in the right place. You know, gasoline outside of a car can be dangerous because you can set things on fire. If you ever pumped gas before, got gas on your hands, your clothes or whatever, it's the worst thing to get out. I mean, the smell is just ridiculous. It's almost hard to get out. So in the wrong place, it smells bad. It can, of course you don't want to drink it. It'll be hazardous to your health. It can tear things up. But in place, it causes the right propel, the right fuel, the right energy to get your vehicle or a plane or whatever it is you're traveling that needs gasoline, it gets you in that direction. And the Holy Spirit told me something a couple of days, and then we'll just get started and we'll read a couple of scriptures. But he said, your insecurities and your shortcomings are your gasoline. But you've been throwing them away and you've been praying them away and you've been asking God to take them away instead of embracing them and putting them where they should be. Whether you want them or not, you got them. I mean, in our society now, we like this beat your chest, yell, I got it all together. God didn't fix me. Look at y'all. You know, we got this thing that we have. And then I think it's American society, European society. I just think it's mankind as a whole. Man been acting like that since the beginning in the garden, wanting to be something more than what he thought he was. And just not embrace them. But the Lord told me to embrace your insecurities. He said, embrace them. He said, embrace your shortcomings. You're a normal person, your average person, your average business person, your average person, education. These people won't tell you these things because it doesn't seem, you know, it's almost like down is the way up. I mean, it flipped. What Jesus says, he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Doesn't make any sense. What sense does it make that the first gonna be last? No, are they first or are they last? Right? But he says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Then he goes on and said, don't esteem yourself. Don't esteem yourself above anybody else. When you go in there, don't try to get the big room at the top just so you can be the big dog. Take the low room and let somebody put you in that high room. See, it's something that Jesus was using to fuel. It was a fuel that he had that we've been tricked out of. We've been tricked out of it. We've been tricked out of it. We've been trying to get rid of it. We've actually been praying to the Lord and in tongues for it to go away. It's not leaving because it's there for a reason. Your power is in your infirmity. Listen to me well. Your power is in embracing your shortcomings. Once again, I'll say it again, you got them. You, watch this, you got them, and no matter how hard you try to get rid of them, you still got them. It must be, we're going to read about Paul talking about a thorn in his flesh in a little while. It must be there for a reason. If all things work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose, if that is the truth, if that what Paul said is the truth, then that means that all things work together, that means these things also. Another scripture I like to read, and sometimes we don't interpret it properly, it says, he who is in Christ is a new creature. And it says this, watch, it says, old things are passed away. But then it says, but all things are made new. Wait, all things includes the old things. Because all things is everything. So if all things is everything, then those old things that pass away, they really died. They were placed where they were supposed to be, and they resurrect as a benefit. Listen to what I'm saying. God, and I'm saying God, is the only person or the only being through his nature and through the way he set things up. He's the only one that I know that can take crap and turn it into fertilizer. I wanted to use another word, but we, and praise the Lord. It'll hit a little, in the streets, it'll hit a little hard if I use the other word one day. So, but he's the only one I know that can take that, like literally, without being processed, without being run through the plants and added all the things, is actually fertilizer. You know, the cows are fertilizer grass all day long without your help. You know, we would do it if we ate right. We use the bathroom outside, but that's another conversation, right? But to turn something that seems like waste, it seems like it stinks, but to use that wasteful, that smelly thing, and to be the thing that be around you to cause you to grow, only God. Only God can do something like that. Only God can be resourceful enough to take everything about you and use it all. He wants your shortcomings as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I need to do a little reading. We're going to talk about Jesus in a minute. But I want Paul, the Apostle Paul, was really laying this thing out. I feel for Paul when I read the letters that he had to read, the letters to the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I mean, he had to write to the church twice and write these letters in the Romans and the Galatians and Ephesians. I feel for him sometimes because sometimes in those conversations, he has to talk about things that he's been asked about that have nothing to do with the gospel. Or he had to deal with certain small, minute particulars about lifestyle and lives that were taken care of when he started talking about Jesus in the first place. But because we always have another question, we always have another conversation, we always think there's something else that we're missing and we don't realize what we have, we tend to have conversations and messages and conferences that we don't need to have if we get the first things first and lock it down. And not to have time, I don't have time to go there, but Matthew 6:33 makes it very, very simple. In context, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm going to show you something about righteousness you've never seen before either. But his righteousness and all these things will be added. If we can get the first things first, we don't have to go to number two. He didn't say, and number two. No, he didn't say it. He had to say number two. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. So now Paul has to have conversations about marriage and about how people are living in different things and what do you do, divorce, and all these different things because it becomes the most important thing in a society. And they don't even realize that if you were listening at first, the answer was given when Christ's name was named. So here we are, Apostle Paul, and I want to read it in the Passion. If you put it on the screen, you put it in the Passion Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll start at chapter 11. I have to do a little reading, but just read with me. I'm reading in the Passion because I've read it in the King James before, but sometimes King James can get a little difficult to understand, so we'll make it plain. Now, please bear with some of my craziness for a moment. Yes, please be patient with me. You need to know that God's passion is burning inside me for you. Because like a loving father, I pledged your hand in marriage to Christ, your true bridegroom. I've also promised that that I would present his fiancée to him as a pure virgin bride. But now I'm afraid, and I like this scripture in the King James, he's talking about the simplicity. He said, but now I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ. In the King James, it says, and I read it last Tuesday, the King James, it says that you'll be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. That means Christ's plan is a simple plan. It's not difficult. It's not all these rules, all these steps, all these plans, all these principles. You ever seen them? Those guys that be doing these tricks, they be trying to spin plates on the little stick and now they trying to spin one and they got to start another one. You know, sometimes Christian life feel like that, don't it? Right? I got to get this one. I got to get the grace down, and I got to get the mercy down. Grace and mercy are not the same thing now. So I got to get grace and mercy down. Now I got to find out what faith really is. How does faith really work? Okay, what does my worship have to do? Okay, what's the difference between worship and praise? Okay, now they two different things. Fast song, slow song. Which one do we do? And it gets to be a lot. I'm a church boy. Born and raised. I was born in the pew. So I already know how it goes. And it becomes a lot. And just when I got the grace one down, now I done lost my joy. Now I got to go have a message on joy. And as soon as I get my joy down, I'm happy, but now I ain't walking in love. Okay, what is walking in love? Wait, God is love. Okay, so is love a thing I'm supposed to do? Or the person I'm supposed to be? And then we go back and forth playing ping pong with Christian ping pong. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And it becomes cumbersome, it becomes difficult. You lose faith, you're tired, but you don't act tired. You smile when you come to church, but you're just tired. I'm tired. But the simplicity, verse 3, that is in Christ, and it says in the past. Verse 4, for you seem to gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you preaching a pseudo Jesus, or somebody that's not really Jesus, another Jesus, not the Jesus that is real Jesus, but a cool little watered down Jesus that fits your societal pleasures, a pseudo Jesus. Not the Jesus we have preached. You have accepted a spirit and a gospel that is false. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Rather than the spirit and the gospel you once embraced, how tolerant you have become of these imposters. Paul hitting them now. Paul hitting them. Paul is hitting it on the head. How tolerant have you become of these feel-good messages? How tolerant have you become of these people that try to tell you, think great of yourself. Think wonderful of yourself. Think all these different things that we say that I think, and they try to get you away from your power. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. They are trying to separate you from your power. Verse 5, now I believe that I am not inferior in any way to these special super apostles you're attracted to. He's talking about these people that's preaching all these messages and trying to make you feel good and trying to build your confidence, tell you to be secure in yourself, talk to yourself, right? For although I may not be a polished, eloquent speaker, I'm certainly not an amateur in revelation knowledge. Indeed, we have demonstrated this to you time and time again. Have I committed a sin by degrading myself to dignify you? Was I wrong to preach the gospel of God to you free of charge? I received ample financial support from other churches just so I could freely serve you. That's what he's saying. Remember, when I was with you, I didn't bother anyone when I needed money. For my needs were always supplied by my Macedonian friends. So I was careful and will continue to be careful that I never become a burden to you in any way. Listen, this is what he's saying. As the reality of Christ lives within me, my glad boast of offering the gospel free of charge will not be silenced through the region of Achaia. Why? Is it because I have no love for you? God knows how much I love you. But in order to eliminate the opportunity for those super apostles to boast that their ministry is on the same level as ours, I will continue this practice. Paul is saying, I didn't even have to ask y'all for nothing. I didn't have to ask y'all for nothing because all my needs were supplied without y'all. This is what he's saying. So these other ones that come in boasting to you because they need something from you, he said, I'm going to keep doing like this. I don't even need nothing from you to show you that the word that I'm saying is true. Listen to the word boast. For they are not true apostles, but deceitful ministers who masquerade as special apostles of the anointed one. That doesn't surprise us. For even Satan transformed himself to appear as an angel of light. So it's no wonder his servants also go about pretending to be ministers of righteousness. But at the end of the day, they will be exposed and get exactly what they deserve. So I repeat, I have to do a little read. Y'all got to stick with me for a minute because I'm getting to some points. So I repeat, let no one think that I'm a fool. But if you do, at least show me the patience you would show a fool. So that I too may boast a little. Of course, what I'm about to tell you is not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. For since many love to boast about their worldly achievements, watch this, allow me the opportunity to join them. And since you are so smart and so wise to gladly pull up with the foolishness of others, not put up with mine. You actually allow these imposters to put you into bondage, take complete advantage of you, and rob you blind. How easily you endure those who, in their arrogance, destroy your dignity or even slap you in the face. I must admit to our shame that we were too weak to relate to you in the way that they do. Now let me dare to boast like a fool. Now, I'm getting somewhere, and you got to keep listening to what I'm reading to, because Paul said these people are putting you in bondage by giving you a pseudo Jesus. You know, many times in the current way we present faith, we present this Jesus. I said it last week. That's a genie. Rub him the right way, you can ask for three of them, you can get your wishes. We present this Christ walk that is not a challenge to anybody. We present this Christ walk that doesn't demand a thing for you. So you are able to keep everything that you want and do everything the way that you want to do and flow all the ways you want to flow and never have to make any sacrifice. Although sacrifice is the way that we were all redeemed. So they're making you, we're keeping you in bondage even though you think you're freeing yourself. Are these super apostles of yours Hebrews? I am too. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? Me too. Are they servants of the anointed one? I am beside myself when I speak this way, but I am much more of a servant than they. I have worked much harder for God, taken more beatings, been dragged to more prisons than they. I've been flogged excessively multiple times, even to the point of death. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. 3 times I experienced being beaten with rods. Once they stoned me. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. For an entire night and a day, I was adrift in the open sea. What you been doing for the Lord? We mad because you short on some money? Are we mad because you don't feel too good today? Amen. In my difficult travels, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, and even my own people. That's the ones right there. I survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, and with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion and gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry, shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. And beside these painful circumstances, I have the daily pressures of my responsibility to all the churches. With deep concern weighing heavily on my heart for their welfare, I am not aloof. Who is desperate and weak? I do not fear their weakness. Who is led astray in the sin? I do not burn in zeal to restore them. Verse 30, if boasting is necessary, I will boast about examples of my weakness. If there is something that I am going to raise my voice about or put on my resume, right? If somebody has to read a bio about me, right? Or somebody has to give an intro about me and my reputation precedes me, my reputation will be examples of my weakness. I tell people sometimes, man, it's funny, man, when people are, you know, they're meeting and they're dating, they never lead off with their bad foot. When you meet somebody new, you don't never say, I got an attitude. You smile and you don't never go with your regular outfit on. You start off with your good stuff. They say you put your best foot forward. When you go and get a job, you don't tell them that you be late sometimes, but you do be late sometimes. But you don't lead. Rarely do we lead with those things that are the shortcomings. Why? Because we lie. Majority of the time we fake. What's in the dark always come to the light. The truth always ride to the top. The truth can ride to the top, but you can put it on the top. Save yourself some trouble. We never leave. He said, if boasting is necessary, I will boast about examples of my weakness. That the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is eternally praised, knows that I am speaking the truth. Once I was in Damascus, and the governor and the king of Herodias had his troops searching for me, had me arrested, but I was stuffed in a basket. Listen to this man telling all this stuff. And was lowered down through a window and managed to escape. Chapter 12. Although it may not accomplish a thing, I need to move on and boast about supernatural visions and revelations of the Lord. Watch this. Someone I was acquainted with who was in union with Christ was swept away 14 years ago in an ecstatic experience. He was taken to the third heaven, but I'm not sure he was in his body or out of his body. Only God knows. And I know this man. I know that this man, again, I'm not sure if he's in his body or taken out of his body, God knows, was caught up in an ecstatic experience and brought into paradise where he overheard many wondrous and inexpressible secrets that were so sacred that no mortal is permitted to repeat them. I'm reading like this for a reason. I'm ready to boast of such an experience, but for my own good, I refuse to boast unless it concerns my weakness. However, if I was to boast, I wouldn't be ridiculous at all, for I would be speaking the truth, yet I will refrain lest others think higher of me than I demonstrate with my life and teaching. How many times that happened in life? Somebody think you're better than what you are. Because you didn't put that filter on Insta. I know what I'm talking about, that filter. They got that filter they can put on it. They look real pretty on that filter. We got this fake filter that we put out. And then somebody thinks that you're more than what you really are. He said, I want to boast in my weakness. Verse 7, the extraordinary level of revelation I receive is for no reason for anyone to exalt me. For this is why a thorn was in my flesh given to me. The adversary's messenger sent to harass me, keeping me from becoming arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, relieve me of this. Lord, take these insecurities from me. Take these shortcomings from me. They got this little thing I'm trying to beat, a little thing I'm trying to get over, or this little, you know, I know I'm not good enough. I'm insecure about some things. I'll be talking all loud because I'm trying to blind the ears of my insecurities. I keep busting jokes because I'm insecure. I keep laughing at all because I'm insecure. I don't want talking about it too long because I'm insecure. And you know it deep in your heart. And you know who else knows it? God knows it. Verse 9, but he answered me, my grace, and the words turned red right here when it started. And he put it in quotes on the screen right now. He said, my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds, listen to this, its full expression through your weakness. Has God been finding his full expression through you? No, because we've been throwing our weaknesses away. We go to the gym because we don't want to be weak. We go to school because we don't want to be weak. We want more money because we don't want to be weak. Try to get educated, we don't want to be weak. I talk bigoted because I don't want to be weak. And you're getting rid of your power. You are throwing away your gasoline. You are throwing away your fuel. I want to read that. Put that in King James, that verse 9, because most of us are familiar with the King James version of verse 9. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient. My grace. My makeup for what you don't have. My filling the gap for what you can't fill in on your own, even though you're faking it. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect, mature, grown, full of purpose, doing everything it's supposed to do. My strength is made perfect in weakness. How many times have we embraced our weaknesses? God told me the other day, he said, your infirmities and your insecurities are the key to your ingenuity. If you know what ingenuity is, it means clever, it means original, being able to create something new. There's a statement out there that says, necessity is the mother of invention. That means the lack of something causes something to be created. The fact that something is not there causes somebody to have an idea to create something that was never there before. We call this invention. And just like this process works with you and your insecurities and your infirmities, no matter how strong you're trying to be, you must embrace the fact that you can't do it. I tried to stop, but I can't do it on my own. I tried to go to that level, but I can't do it on my own. I tried to be this type of person, but I can't do it on my own. I embrace my insecurities. I know it doesn't sound like the right thing to hear, but of course, yeah, also dying to live doesn't sound like the right thing. Being crucified to save people don't sound like the right thing. Well, we come on, catch it now. Maybe God is doing something another way. Maybe the way that you thought it was supposed to go, it really goes like this. But if you've been deceived by the serpent, then you keep going the same way the wide path everybody else is going. And now your fuel is right there with you, and you've been asking God to take it away instead of giving it to God to make it strong for you. He said, embrace him. He said, embrace him. I said, well, you know, how could I give this phone to somebody unless I first embrace it? How could I pass this to anybody in the audience or anybody watching online unless I first grab it and take a hold of it and embrace it? And so with my insecurities and my shortcomings, I must embrace them and then bring them to him. Hey, God, what? God, you know what? Let me be honest with you. I'm about to teach you righteousness right now. See, we thought righteousness, you know, you try to get right. No, you don't get right. Let me teach you righteousness right now. Righteousness, the definition we give for righteousness is right standing with God, right? Well, I can't stand right with God if I'm up here trying to prove to God that I'm better than what I am. I can't stand right with God, standing in front of God, and I'm holding my problems behind my back even though I know he sees them. So most of the time, we don't come boldly to the throne. We're not even standing in the righteousness with God because we have not admitted our insecurities and our shortcomings and our infirmities. So now we can't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is righteousness, his righteousness. But we can't even go to God because we're still trying to hide. Who told you was naked in the garden? He said, they done got dressed. And they said they hid. I don't know how you hide from God. I don't know how you get dressed. Ain't nobody but y'all and God there. How you got dressed? You thought God was going to see you naked? He made you naked. Well, we hid because we was afraid. God can walk. This is how God works. Let me see how God works. I love him. I love him. I love how it's written. I love how he works. Because he comes and says, where are y'all? Like he ain't know. Where y'all at? Now what is that? Now, it's funny because like God knew, he knew where you was already, right? But God does this because he's trying to do something. Apostle does it to me sometimes. He'll ask a question, and I'm trying to get smart, but he asks a question, and then he asks you, and ain't no way for you to get the right answer, but he wants you to answer because the answer he thinking in his head is you ain't a million miles close to it. Like you so far somewhere else. You call it and some of the answers that you do call out could be a good answer for the question, but they ain't the one he got in his head. But I understood why he was doing that so much, because if he just speaks to me, then I never speak it out of my mouth. If he just tells it to me, then I never tell it myself. He's challenging me. Where y'all at? Where you at? Where you at? Why? Where you at? Where y'all at? He going in the garden looking for y'all. I know where y'all at already. Ain't no hide and seek. I know where you at. But I'm trying to give you an opportunity to see where you at yourself. Do you notice that Adam and Eve never told God they were sorry? Not one time did they admit that they were wrong. Go read it. They didn't admit it. They wouldn't admit that they made a wrong decision. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Remember now, sin means missed the mark. Sin means, you know, the things that we really call sin are just effects of sin. Sin really is not knowing who you are. You're missing the mark of who your real identity is. All those things that we like, the bad things, they're only effects of you not knowing who you are. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from what? All what? Unrighteousness. So what is unrighteousness? Well, unrighteousness is when you're trying to act righteous, but you know you ain't right. When you don't want to be truthful with God. So now he told me, he said, now when you really walk in righteousness is when you've taken your shortcomings and you've taken your insecurities and you have embraced them and you have given to me and you showed up as an offering. Hey, listen, this is who I really am. I ain't trying to worship to try to convince you that I'm better than I am. I ain't trying to pray in tongues longer to try to convince you to better, because no matter what I do, no matter I pray, no matter I worship, no matter I roll on the floor, no matter I sacrifice, get my body to be burned, you already know what's inside my heart. You already know how I feel about myself. You already know this. So now I become one with God when I ain't hide nothing from God. I'm not talking about your bad deeds right now. I'm talking about your insecurities. I'm talking about those things that's your weaknesses, those things you're not good enough. I used to wonder, man, God gave me a couple talents, man, but I was always insecure with them. Like, people be like, you know, sing, and not that I didn't know I had a decent voice, but it's just like, I was like, you know, somebody tell you, it still made me crazy, you know, ain't that big a deal. Right. And people thought I'd be fronting, or they thought I'm trying to fake, you know, you got the fake false humility too. Yeah, people that act all, but they bigger than their heart. Right? God know. But he had tell me, he said, it's a thorn. He said, you're never gonna get over that. You get nervous when you go up there? Yes, every time. You're never gonna get over that. Because that is the pathway to your strength. That's how you went and prayed to God and said, hey, God, here's my insecurities. Not never, huh? Right? Last time I prayed, God said, here go my shortcomings, my insecurity, here. I'm not asking you for nothing else. I'm just giving you these, here. Just give you these and then tell me, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Yeah, there they go. Oh, they still here? Here you go. Your infirmities becomes the steering wheel of the Holy Ghost. It becomes the thing that the Holy Ghost uses to steer you and then propel you the way you're supposed to go. But if you think you know better, you think you got it together already, then the things that God wants to do, he can't do them because you already got your life planned. You already got your life under control. You say, I don't have no insecurity. That's your number one right there. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So now Paul goes to talk a couple of things, and you can go there real quick, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, I don't want to show you Jesus, because I never want to go without showing you Jesus, because this is your Savior. He's trying to tell you how to live, and Jesus was the most humble being that ever walked the face of the earth. It don't get no more humble than to have all power. And tell people, don't go tell nobody. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. I can count everybody in the room right now, online. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You raise somebody from the dead, ain't no way you go to tell somebody, don't tell nobody. You done wrote it up and emailed it into victory@eiwm.org, and you want to read it in church on Sunday, and if they don't read your name or say your name, you upset. Wow. See, Jesus is trying to teach us something. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. Paul's talking, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Go to the next scripture. Who being in the form of God, okay, here we got the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, there we go. He didn't think it was a bad thing to be one with God, to be equal with God. It's not that he didn't know he was equal with God, but watch this. Go to the next scripture. But made himself of no reputation. Oh, who you trying to have a reputation for? What is it that you've been trying to put out there to give yourself a name? If you give yourself a name, you can't live in the name of Jesus. I've been doing all these things to make a name for myself. When you've been given a name that is above every name. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made into the likeness of men. Next scripture. And being found in the fashion of man, he what? Humbled himself. Now he didn't, wait, life didn't humble him. He humbled himself. Well, you can't really humble yourself till you realize your shortcomings and your insecurities and your infirmities and own up to them. I like this phrase I keep using, I've been using, own it. Own it. Own it. Own that. That's you, own it. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Next scripture. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him. Who exalted him? God. He exalted himself. No. He climbed up the ladder. No, worked really hard to get on the top of the world. Nope. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Next scripture. That at the name of Jesus, and a name does not mean the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer. The name means the character, is the way somebody thinks, how they function, what their purpose is, the way that they believe about things. So it said, in the way of all that of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Next scripture. And, come on, next scripture. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So our humble, the humility came before the exaltation. We live in a world right now where everybody wants to be exalted. Everybody want it all. Everybody want to be on top. Everybody want to be a boss. Everybody want to be an owner. Everybody wants to be a leader. But ain't nobody willing to put their head in the dirt and admit that you're not good enough. Galatians 2:20. Paul talking about Jesus again. As Paul said, let this mind. Paul talking about Jesus again. We talking about faith, right? Well, Galatians 2:20. Go there real quick. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives well in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Next scripture. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What he's saying is, I don't frustrate God's grace that is in place to make me better than I am by myself. I don't make this frustrated. That's what it was there for. Because if righteousness, or if my righteousness, or my right standing with God comes by me doing all the right stuff, or me making all the right decisions, or me having all the answers, then shoot, Christ died in vain. The whole price was paid for nothing. So I embrace for grace. Jump over to Matthew's chapter 19. Matthew's 19, we're going to read Matthew's a little bit, but we'll go through. Go to Matthew's 5 first. And I'm going to read this in read it in the Passion too, but I want to read it in King James, Matthew chapter 5. And now what people don't understand is Jesus kept preaching the same message. He didn't preach any different message. He kept on preaching the same message. He preached the same message over and over again. He said, what you come to preach for? I remember he was asking Brother Hagin, what you preach today? He said, I'm going to preach the last thing I preached last time. You know, you asked Dad, he said, Dad had come to town. He said, you know, Brother Thomas, you're back again, huh? Yeah. He said, you know, I'm going to preach the same thing I preached last time. He said, yep. Dad said, yep, that's what I came to get. Sometimes we jumping off on these new books and these new messages and we ain't got the one. We hadn't mastered the one thing that's needful. Chapter 5, and see, Jesus preached the same thing over again. Jesus really, chapter 5, he's come, he's got baptized, and he came getting tempted by the devil, and now he's talking, and he really lays the state of the union of what the new kingdom looks like. Right there, all the way through chapter 5, all the way to chapter 6, he keeps going. He's really laying it out in this one conversation. But he has to go on and keep saying the same thing over and over again because people are looking for something else. We don't want to hear nothing about my weakness. We don't want to hear nothing about, you know, my infirmities. I want to hear that my praise is a weapon. I want to hear that, you know, I can pray down heaven. I want to hear that I speak to mountains and they move, but the mountains don't move unless you walk in the faith of the Son of God. I'm going to show you what it is in a minute. Jesus didn't boast on being the most diligent or the most, whatever it is that we try to pat ourselves on the back with. We want patches. Give me a patch for this. Jesus said, calm down and get down. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain where he was set aside, and disciples came to him. Well, hold on. Verse 1, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. When he was set, his disciples came and said, well, hold on. That don't sound like current Christianity or current modern day evangelical church, because we want to go where the multitudes are. We want our churches packed. It's funny that the pandemic is hilarious right now. The pandemic is hilarious because all these things, your church growth conferences and all these things that we've been trying to do to get all this stuff, and ain't nobody in there right now. He's saying something, ain't he? And seeing the multitude, look at Jesus. The multitude right there. Well, we preach the gospel, we're gonna go to preach to the multitude, right? They got a crowd down there. Give me the mic. He said, Jesus went up in the mountain. He left him where the crowd was. Total opposite of what you think is promoting you. You're gonna go down there and try to get more people to be part of your team. Join my membership, join my email list. Seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. I mean, he went and left them too. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, watch this, now he's teaching them. And the first thing he says to them is, verse 3. I thought he was going to tell me, blessed are the prayers. Blessed are the fasters. Blessed are the ones that show up every week. Blessed are the bishops and the reverends. Blessed are the intercessors. Blessed are the worship. Blessed are the worship leaders. Blessed are. He didn't say none of that. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Do we read this? We don't be reading it, huh? We don't be reading this like that. We can't be. We read it you just read it so we can say we read it. But are you really understanding? We blessed are the poor in spirit. That means you're not bigoted about who you are and what you think you can do. Calm down. This whole society tells us to be bigger. Whole society, it has deceived us to paint a picture about yourself that it ain't the truth. You know when you get home at night. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the, no, not the meek ones. No, not the meek. No, we ain't got to be meek. No, don't be meek. No, wait, blessed are the meek, for they'll shall inherit the earth. Well, I thought I got to go get it, name it and claim it. Call it out. Shout out. The best preacher's going to inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see the righteousness? Now, how do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? I just showed you what righteousness was, Layla. I just showed you that when you take your shortcomings that only you know you have and present them to him, that's when you're at your most righteous. When you're no longer trying to jump through the hurdles to prove to God that you're good enough. A lot of our worship and praise is just trying to stroke God, trying to prove to him that he already know if you love him or not. Just because you're singing along with the chorus don't mean you can pray in tongues. He said, have not love. You sound of breath, tinkling cymbal. He said, if you have not, you know, love is a person. And if you have not identified yourself as a person, you can do all that stuff. You know, I say this all the time. Many going to say, Lord, Lord. He going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What are we talking about? Because we've got to go. There's a place that only you and God can be in your life. And in that place, he knows it all. But just him knowing it all is not enough for you. He has to know that you know and that you've released and relinquished that power of that over your life. You've taken those infirmities and taken those shortcomings and taken those things in you that are not so kosher and you put it in his hands. That's when the power comes. Otherwise, God will be stealing from you if he knew you got it and take it from you. He said, I prayed 3 times for God to take this thorn. God, come take this thorn off my side. We do that all the time. Take this. God can't take it from you because he's going to be stealing. It is more blessed to give. For God so loved the world that he said, bring glory in your infirmities. Bring them here. You ain't got to go find no new ones. You got a bunch of them. You got more than you think you got. Bring them here. Find them when you got them. Find them. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Huh? Matthew 11. Bring them to me. Uh-huh. He said, bring them to me. I read the King James and I'm reading the Passion. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now see, this has been hidden from the wise and the prudent. The wise and prudent said, get smarter, get better, get stronger, learn more. All that's on the tree, on knowledge of good and evil. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. They don't, they look, the people, listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. By life's societal standards right now, the people that you think got power ain't got none. The people that you think are in control are only in control because you don't know you in control. The Bible talks about God will set down who he want and put up who he want. He told me a long time ago, the only reason a lot of us hadn't been put up yet because we're trying to do it their way, not his way. We won't even embrace our infirmity. So that way we can't come up with nothing new. We can't come up with nothing extraordinary because we don't embrace our shortcomings. I won't embrace it. I'm not smart enough so God can be smart enough in me. Hid it from the wise and the prudent. Thou hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And this man is saying this. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That's a strong statement. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come on, you to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, you're trying to work, trying to get rid of that shortcoming. Trying to work, getting rid of that infirmity. You've been working real hard, praying real hard, confessing real hard. Trying to save real hard. And you're saving the money and it seems like they ain't got enough done no more. Something else come up. You've been trying to work real hard to get this done. Come to me, all y'all that labor and heavy laden. Trying to prove yourself. You ain't nobody without me in the first place. That song I wrote a long time ago called No Good Without You. No good without you. Come on, say no good without you. No good without you. No good without you. I'm no good without you. Because that's the truth. I'm no good without you. When I own that, when I realize that ain't nothing good in me but God. I ain't got time to go read that. Matthew 19, they come running to our good master. He said, hold on. Before I tell you anything, why are you calling me good? Ain't nothing good but one. This is Jesus. This is the good shepherd. How we call him, huh? He said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. Justin done some miracles. Justin raised people from the dead. They done all these good works. And this man gonna say, why you calling me good? He's trying to make a point. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He ain't say because I'm anointed and gifted. He ain't say because I'm worthy and sufficient. Huh? Come on, name all your words. He ain't say because I praise and worship. He didn't say, because I pray more than all y'all. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek. And that seemed like it was enough, right? You meek. It's you, Jesus. You the Messiah. He said, I am meek. Then he says, and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. Next scripture. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. you've been, just imagine, I got to use the car example again. Just imagine you're in the car. Here's the problem. You ready, watch this. You in the car. You sitting there, but you're stranded. You can't go nowhere. You can't go in the car, won't start. Out of gas. But you got Gallon sitting in the back seat. It's in the car with you. It's in the car with you. You got jugs sitting in the back seat enough to fill your car up. In the trunk. It's right there in the car with you. But you're going to sit here and say, Lord, please take me to the next destination. Lord, please take me the way you're trying to take me. You say, big dummy, I didn't put the gasoline in there. Now, it don't smell good in here because it ain't supposed to be in here. If you put it where it's supposed to go, it'll prepare you where you need to go. But you cry, Lord, help me, please. Take this thorn away. Take this thorn away from me. You take the thorn. That's why he didn't take the thorn from him. Because Paul was supposed to take the thorn himself. He go to thorn, God. I offer it up. Matter of fact, I don't even need you to remove it out of my system if you're going to use it. Thorn don't do nothing to make me uncomfortable. You don't need to be comfortable. Because when you're comfortable, a little bit folding the hand, your slumber so poverty come upon you. That's the scripture. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is showing that the key to his power and his dominion and his almightiness is inside of his meekness and humility. Did the man know he was the Son of God? Yes, because he said it. Did the man know who he was? Yes, he did. He knew who he was. But knowing who he was, he knew what kind of body he was in too. He knew what was going on. And so because he knew, listen, y'all got to hear me. Because he knew his shortcomings as a human in a human body, he was able to do things that was above human comprehension. This man come walking on water. Last time you did it, I'll wait. He come back after the crucifixion, when he raised from dead, he still got his body, and this man is walking through walls because he understands my humility and my limitations as a man. So when I understand my limitations, then I take my limits and I give it to him, and they become unlimited. But if I don't take them and I don't present them to him, then I'm devoiding myself of some power that he's trying to take me. It's beyond what I can do. You ask apostle, come in and preach right now, they tell you the same things. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how it worked. A lot of people want to lay hands on him and they want the anointing. They don't realize he's displaying in front of them. How this happened? Show me how. I ain't the best speaker. I'm infirm. I glory in my infirmities. Wise man? Yes. Wisdom? Yes. Have learned and experienced? Yes. What? A man told me one time, he said, I done forgot more than you learned. Truth? Yes. But my strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I'm not faking. We're not fronting. Let's just keep it 100. Here you go. I'm turning them in. I'm tired of fighting with them. I'm tired of trying to fix them. I'm tired of trying to turn them over. I'm tired of trying to translate them. I can't convert them no way. You the only one that can convert them. Here, turn them in. Come on, tonight you got to turn them in. It's a horrible thing to, Adam and Eve did it, we just talked about it a couple minutes ago. It's a horrible thing to be trying to hide something from the all-knowing. And it's bad to lie, but it's worse to lie to yourself. Hey, sit down and have a good talk with myself and say, you know what? Instead of me struggling, I'm not saying don't get no education, God dog it. I'm not saying, but instead of me struggling, trying to do it their way and do it that way, let me just admit, like, I ain't got it. If I do have it, I only got it through you in the first place. So I take them. Many of these things that we deal with, we don't want to take them. Sometimes our anger, and sometimes our, you know, attitude. Sometimes our feelings. Sometimes our some of the ways that we have that are not so kosher. We don't take them and give them to him. He may turn those things down into turn around into a passion for something, for somebody. But we can't be converted. He said, "Let's hear what they are, see what they are, and hear what it is, and then they understand with their heart and they be converted." Learn of me. Go back to verse 28. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. In verse 29, I'm sorry, verse 29. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Have you learned Jesus' meekness yet? Have you learned Jesus' meekness yet? Have you mastered the lowliness in heart? You've tried to master everything else. Have you mastered the meekness? Mastering the humility. You want to tell everybody about what you've done all the time. Calm down. He'll let you do more if you be quiet. He talked about in Matthew 6. He said they want to walk around with the robes on and want to make great declarations. Don't be like them. Go in the closet. Matthew 6 says it. He said, go in the closet. Go inside of there. He said, your father that seeth you in secret will reward you openly. That's what you want, the open reward. That's what you're working for right now. That's what you're trying to be smart enough for right now. The open reward, but that's not how you get it. He said, well, they got it being bigger than, yeah, and theirs is temporal. How many times have you seen them go up and then crash down? Say it one time and I'm out. Your infirmities must be embraced. Now this is, it's not a popular message. And it's not an easy one because it's not what we hear all the time. But my strength is perfected in your weakness. My strength is literally perfected in your acknowledgement of your shortcomings. Now, this does not mean that you don't try to develop yourself to get better, but just know that you don't have enough development to develop to what God's level is. You can develop how many degrees you want? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many years you got to go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 13, 14. How many times you going to go? And you'll never be able to develop to what God has called you to be. But the moment and the day that I take my shortcomings and my weakness and I give it to him, this is the day that he takes it and converts it into everything he always dreamed for. You don't think God know he put you in dirt? God know what he made you out of. Little dirt don't scare. He know what he did. And I'm meek and lowly in heart. I read it in Strong's, and meekness and lowly in heart talking about being down to the ground. Everybody don't want to get down. We have problems in our system right now. I'm not even going to get into it because people don't want to get down sometimes. Right? But the ground is where he formed us from. And on the ground, from the ground and on the ground, is where he breathed into us and we became living souls on the ground. We were literally created on the ground. Our lives and creation as mankind began on the ground. You want to do a better one? Creation came from humility. Because how humble and almighty God has to be to breathe his life and himself into a pile of dirt. Humility was the catalyst of creation. embrace them. Amen.